Merry Christmas Eve, Mosaic. Oh, that was just this group, okay? Merry Christmas Eve to the rest of you. All right, there we go. Well, my name is Pastor Jamie. I'm one of the pastors here. If you're visiting with us, we want to thank you for being with us and celebrating Christmas Eve with us. We have been in this Advent series looking at this idea of waiting. And kids, the wait is almost over. The wait is almost over. Parents, the wait is almost over. This evening, we're going to look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. I know normally on Christmas Eve we read Luke 2, but dads, I'm going to leave that up to you tomorrow morning. Tonight, we're going to look at Mary and how she waits and how we wait as well. Our big idea for tonight is this, that how we wait can make all the difference. How we wait can make all the difference. Before we read our passage this evening, I want us to pray for just a moment. I know there's lots of little kids, lots of movement, but this is a moment where we can quiet our hearts and our minds and focus in on what God has to say to us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for sending your son Jesus to be the Savior of the world, to take away our sins, to be our Savior. To bring your peace, your love, your joy into our lives. Holy Spirit, we thank you for pointing us to our need for Jesus. We pray that this evening as we focus in on your word, that you would help us to see the Savior clearly. Lord, we ask that you would quiet our souls so we can hear from you. You are in control and we want you to have what you want. Give us your will today and help us to see you in our season of waiting. And everybody said, amen. Kids, the wait is almost over. Parents, the wait is almost over. Have you ever had to wait for something? You've had to wait for something for a really, really long time. All of us have had to wait for different things. This past week, I had to wait to get off of a boat in a hallway with lots of other people waiting. Not a pleasant experience. The rest of the experience was fun, but waiting in the hallway was not. Another experience that I can think about waiting was when we were waiting for Ellison to be born. Ellison, amongst all my other children, took her sweet, blessed time to come, to be born. As parents, we wait for our children to be born. As fathers, we wait, but it's not quite like the wait of the mom. Right, ladies? It's nothing quite like that wait, waiting for that child to be born. I can imagine what it was like for Joseph to get the news. We talked about that his wife to be was pregnant from supernatural means, and that she was to have the Savior, and he was to be the father, and yet he couldn't put all of this together. He was confused. He wasn't quite sure if she was telling the truth, and his wait was probably excruciating. The text that we looked at a few weeks back said that he was seeking to divorce her, put her away privately. Joseph was of Mary because he didn't want her to receive public ridicule or to even be stoned to death. So we know that Joseph's wait was filled with turmoil. But what about Mary's wait? What about the wait that she would experience? This is what we see in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, says this, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled. Everybody say, greatly troubled. She was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. I'd imagine if you were visited by an angel, you wouldn't be quite sure either whether this was good news or bad news. Sometimes when the angels show up in the Bible, they're bringing bad news. In this case, he's bringing good news, but she's not quite sure about that quite yet. And it continues to say, "And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.'" Now, if you heard that news, I'm not quite sure we would have the same response that she has. So I think sometimes when it comes to Christmas and reading the Christmas story, we miss the honesty that the authors put in here. The honesty of the moment, because rather than being like, "Oh, great, amazing, I'm about to give birth to the Son of God, and he's going to be called the Most High, and his kingdom will never end. Yippee!" Her response is this. "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." This scripture begins a season of waiting. A season of waiting for Mary. And honestly, it begins a season of waiting for you and me. Because one day, the King who came on Christmas will come back. He will return, and he will take those who belong to him to be with him forever. You see, I can imagine that this season of waiting was excruciating for Mary and Joseph. The end of waiting for her would usher in a whole new season of waiting. Waiting that would culminate in Jesus, the Son of God, being nailed to a cross and taking on the sins of the world. That would begin another season of waiting that would be 3 days in a tomb, that we celebrate him rising from the dead on Easter. The two big bookends, we're celebrating one of those right now, Christmas Eve, the coming of a Savior, and Easter, the rising of the Savior from the dead. But it would begin another season of waiting at the ascension of Jesus, where all of us, those who have gone before us, and those who will precede us and go on after us, waiting for the Savior to come back. You see, this really is a season of waiting. The question is, will we wait the right way? The first thing we see from this text is waiting in honesty. I love the honesty of the Scriptures and how it describes this. It says that she was greatly troubled. In the original language, that phrase, greatly troubled, literally means profoundly unsettled, agitated, disturbed, or terrified. Parents, when you had your first child, this is what that feeling you had, terrified, right? Terrified when they handed them to you and said, now you can take them home. Terrified. This is that terrified moment when, as a dad, the mom leaves you with that baby as a dad for the very first time. And she's like, there's diapers over there, there's a bottle over there, and you're terrified. You're terrified. You could conquer the world, you could run a company, but that baby will terrify you. And can we really blame her? Before we get all judgmental with Mary, I guarantee you if an angel showed up, anxious and profoundly terrified would probably be our response. And that's why Gabriel's word of reassurance to her is so important. He says, do not be afraid, Mary. Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. Mary doesn't wait for Advent in the same way that you and I wait for a gift. That gift that will open tomorrow that we're hoping is under the tree that our parents actually purchased. It's not the same kind of wait. Mary doesn't wait the same kind of way that we do these last few days waiting for Amazon to show up at the front door. This isn't that kind of wait. This is a waiting filled with no clue of what's coming. She knows that she's been told that this is the Son of God, but we sometimes read more into the text that's not there and assume that she knew all of what that meant. You see, this is an honest moment. The honesty of the Advent story is so refreshing because it speaks to us in our moments of bewilderment. When we don't know what to do. When we don't see where glory could come out of that mess. The Advent story shows us that God does the impossible even in these interrupting circumstances. You see, Mary doesn't at first believe the news. She says, how can this be since I am a virgin? She understands biology and she understands that this announcement seems absurd. Until the angel explains to her that it's supernatural and that what God is able to do is the impossible. You see, that's exactly the sort of place where God shows up, in the impossible. The text tells us that she's from Nazareth. Now, if you know a little bit more about the scriptures, you know that Jesus is described as coming from Nazareth, and the question is often asked, can anything good come from Nazareth? So this young lady is from the wrong place. She's a young woman who is a virgin, and she's betrothed to Joseph, and she knows that if she comes up pregnant, this isn't good for her. You say, how encouraging is that? Well, it's exactly the kind of place where God shows up, where the good news begins, in a place that seems out of place. I share this with you because it's the honest truth of the message of Christmas, that wherever you find yourself here tonight, you might be in a season of waiting that you never dreamed of. That you never thought you'd find yourself in, that you're actually, if you're honest, pretty angry about. And that's the kind of place that God shows up. That the good news shows up. I love the honesty of the Advent story because it brings all kinds of hope to us as we wait. That no matter the terrible circumstances that you find yourself in or waiting in, the Savior of the world can show up. As hard as you may try, you can never prepare for Him to show up. She was never prepared for the angel to show up. He just does. As hard as we may try, we don't know how to prepare for God to show up. But that's the way that God works. Mary honestly doesn't believe, and then he explains to her, and she has to begin to wrap her mind around God doing the impossible. You see, the messenger from God doesn't ask Mary's permission. I love this. He doesn't say, "Hey, Mary, what do you think about being the mother of Jesus?" He doesn't say, "Hey, what do you think about doing this?" You see, the honest moment in the Advent story is that he tells her what she is to do. The sovereign Lord of the universe has orchestrated all of history so that this young woman would be the mother of Jesus. And Mary's response is what I hope all of our response to the message of Jesus would be. Listen to what she says. She says, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." She surrenders control. In her honest moment of waiting, Mary surrenders control. She doesn't say, "Hey, maybe you should pick somebody else." She doesn't say, "Hey, I think you got the wrong house." She doesn't say, "Hey, do you not understand who I am and where I'm from? Maybe you should pick somebody from somewhere a little bit more important." She surrenders control. She welcomes the mystery of God. And that's what we hope that each of you do here tonight. It's a mystery that God would come at Christmas, that he would live a perfect life, and that he would die for the sins of the world, be buried, and rise from the dead so that we could have a relationship with him. It's a mystery that God would do this. And yet she welcomes the mystery of God in her life. And she embraces God's plan for the world, even though she doesn't know how it will all turn out. It's a risk, and yet she says yes to God. You see, Mary's honesty in her season of waiting helps us to know what to do in our season of waiting. In our season of waiting, God calls us to surrender control. Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." What is this? This is surrendering control that God exists, that he exists outside of time and space, that he spoke the world into existence. I surrender control to the God who created everything. This is the honesty of Christmas, the honest good news of Christmas we see through the life of Mary. And it's how we wait, how we must wait for the Lord's return. We surrender control to him and believe not only that he exists, but he rewards those who seek him. He rewards those who seek him. You see, Mary shows us what to do while we wait for the return of Jesus. We surrender control, but also like Mary, God calls us to welcome the mystery of God. Listen to 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." That's the mystery of God. The mystery of God that he would come and he would save sinners like you and me, imperfect people, that he would live the life that we could not live, that he would die the death that we deserve, and that he would save us. In his patience towards you, not wishing that you would perish, but that you would come to repentance. What does that word mean? Metanoia, to change your mind about the things that you've done wrong and to turn from your sin and turn to Jesus. This is what the good news is of Christmas, that Jesus has come to forgive you of your sins. So like Mary, God calls us to surrender control. He calls us to welcome the mystery of God, but God calls us to embrace God's plan for the world. The most famous verse, I had to work it in to the Christmas Eve service, John 3:16. If you know John 3:16, would you say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Sorry, I memorized it in King James. You see, the honest truth is that is God's plan for your life. God's plan for your life is not that you would perish in your sins, but that you would trust in his love and his plan for you. That God so loved the world, not so loved so that you could open up gifts on Christmas and be like, oh, cool, thanks, Jesus. But that you would embrace the forgiveness of God and that you would receive the greatest gift that any of us could receive at Christmas, the forgiveness of our sins. That all you would need to do is believe in him. Believe, trust, depend, rely solely on him. That's what it means to put our faith in him. That's what it looks like to embrace God's plan for the world, to receive everlasting life. You see, the honest truth is God is waiting for you and I to say yes to his plan, his purpose, and his provision. He has done everything for you by sending his one and only Son at Christmas to be the Savior of the world. The question is, in your waiting, will you wait in your mess with him or without him? You see, this Christmas, he offers you and I a relationship with him by surrendering control, by welcoming the mystery, and by embracing his plan for the world. Would you trust him in this way this Christmas? Let's pray.